right. That was UB40 with Every Breath You Take. Before that, we heard Ocean Eyes by Billie Eilish. This music means it's time for the Garden Conversation, which is underwritten by the bookstore selling new and used books, cards, and art supplies on Main Street in Haines. From 11 to 5, Tuesday through Saturday, you can reach them at 766-3356 and online at HaynesBookstore.com. Here we go. And we are control. We are here with Melissa Aronson and Burl Sheldon.
Good morning, Joni, and good morning, Burl.
Good morning
on this rainy day.
Yeah.
Hope everybody got gardening done yesterday because today's not looking so good.
Right. Got some things done yesterday. For sure.
So we've just passed the equinox and we're all busy harvesting and preparing for winter. And I have to say, I appreciate that we get to take a break from gardening in the winter. It's easy to get really tired by then. Today, we're going to talk about the Orchard Project with Burl, and we're going to focus on four questions. The first, what types and varieties of fruit trees should be in a Chilkat Valley orchard? The second, what are some good strategies for growing fruit trees? The third, how can we make sure that humans and not bears or moose harvest our fruits? And fourth, where can people get information about the Orchard Project? And I hope to have Blythe Carter on the show in a couple of weeks to talk about the Orchard Handbook that she's been involved with.
Right.
So, Burl, first of all, where did the funding come from for the Orchard Project?
We started in the winter of 2020 and around March. Or February, Sue Chasen and I, Sue is the president of the Chilkat Valley Historical Society, and I was a new member, and we started talking about this. It's a USDA specialty crop block grant, and it was something that's passed through the Alaska Division of Agriculture. And it was targeting what we know, what we need to know, what we can learn, what we have to learn if we want to be better at growing woody fruit trees, perennial fruit trees. And we left it there. We thought about using and including berries in it, but we didn't. We stayed focused on fruit trees.
Okay, thanks. So what types and varieties of fruit trees should be in a Chilkat Valley orchard?
That's a great question, and I have to divide it. We'll talk about outdoors, normal conditions. Firstly, we have two different growing agricultural zones here are generally above about 10 mile on the Haines Highway. You're entering into zone 4, which can bring temperatures another 10 degrees lower. In zone 5 here on the tidewater areas, technically you could grow many of the same things. In the case of sweet cherries are damaged around minus 20. So up the highway, sweet cherry is probably not a great idea. And also we have issues of snow and snow accumulation. So I'm going to jump back down and talk about the coastal areas here. And so apples are definitely they thrive here. Really, there's not a reason why apples won't thrive. There is a reason, however, why they won't ripen, and that is they're the wrong variety. So when somebody has an apple that's only ever hard and sour, it's because it's a variety that won't ripen here. Okay, there's one. We have a lot of sour cherries here. There is no Haines sour cherry. It's not a thing. It's the results of many people planting trees and passing them to their friends and neighbors through the suckering. But there are many, many different kinds and varieties of sour cherries or pie cherries. And one of the interesting things is to trial different varieties of sour cherry. Okay, so we stuck sweet cherries, sour cherries, apples, and the one that's really not entirely proven and fascinating is plums. Plums make very small blossoms. They're very on the edge of what we can do. Yet we do have small production of plums. Blythe Carter is certainly the person that has shown us that. And she also learned an important lesson that the plum varieties that have a low chill requirement are susceptible to winter kill. And that would be typically what they call Japanese or Asian varieties. And so we have to be careful. Even though they can thrive in zone 4 and 5, it's the cyclic heating and cooling during our winter, that we have a period of time when the temperatures rise and things thaw out and the tree wakes up. And then, oops, February comes along and gets cold again and you kill the tree. So the chill requirements on plums are very important, and as pollination. And there's some interesting ways to address that. But,
okay.
So there's four. And then, of course, people like Kate Saunders, mm-hmm. has grown peaches in a greenhouse.
Amazing.
Yeah. And Blythe Carter's growing peaches in a greenhouse right now. And then there's greenhouse growing, which kind of adds, Rob Goldberg is our a person who really trialed this, adds about 6 weeks of growing mm-hmm. time and a significant addition of heating degree days. So lots becomes possible mm-hmm. inside of a greenhouse.
But those have to be really tall greenhouses.
They have to be specialty greenhouses that are up all year long.
And they're using dwarf varieties in those?
Yes. Yes, okay. That's the short answer, yeah.
Okay.
And a lot of pruning.
Yeah. And so with the plums, you stay away from the Asian plums.
European plums are generally self-fertile.
Okay.
And they have what we need. They have to all be ripening early. All these fruit varieties that we can conceive of, even the sweet cherries. One of the challenges with sweet cherries is they ripen in August and they crack like crazy once
in
the rain starts. Yeah. So you need to grow the earliest ripening varieties of sweet cherries.
Yeah, and when they crack, they mold.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all very...
It's really, not a commercially... To me, I think of sweet cherries as lovely to have on the table, but they're growing them in Montana and Idaho for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So what are some good strategies for growing fruit trees?
I think that the first thing and it's on the next item on the list, really, one of them is fencing. Mm-hmm. And you think a bear is tough on a fence, you should try moose. So wildlife are issues, and there's this other little hairy creature called a vole, which is not at all unique to our area. Wherever there are fruit trees, there are vole issues, so you have to screen them out as well.
And what do the voles do?
The voles will girdle the bottom of the tree. They are living in their little space under the snow, and that soft snow is where they have their little home. And they find this tender apple, in particular, it seems. They seem to be more attracted to apples than cherries. And they'll girdle the tree and killing the tree, basically.
Okay, so they're just eating right around the base of the tree.
Small trees.
Yeah.
At the base of the tree.
So a hint here, if you ever drive through the Central Valley of California in January or February and you go past orchards, you'll see all kinds of sticks with milk cartons around them. And it's the very strangest thing you ever saw. But the milk cartons are there to protect the base of the tree from, it's not voles, but it's rabbits and it's whatever's filling that niche that voles are in here. And so when you first plant the tree and it's just basically a stick, if you drop one of those waxed milk cartons over it, a white one, and there's a reason for that, then it will protect the tree and then that will rot eventually. And so you don't have to worry about it girdling the tree itself. You don't have to worry about pulling it off.
So it'll allow the tree trunk to get big enough
to where
it won't be attractive to the
Right. But if you put a black one of these waxed milk carton type things or orange juice cartons on there, then that can sunburn the tree.
Yeah.
Oh,
I can have
okay.
it.
Okay.
Take it from an old farmer. I know lots of ways to kill
gonna
trees.
You're going to get to Blythe Carter, but the Fruit Grower's Guide to the Chilkat Valley, the first edition, is online at cvorchardproject.org.
Okay.
And it's written primarily by Blythe Carter, and it compiles the information that we generated in the winter of 2021 and adds in Blythe and Ed Byarski and Rob Bishop's experience. Ed Byarski is Ed's Edible Landscapes in June, was a very significant contributor to the Orchard Project education.
Okay.
And the late Michael Phillips.
Okay. So back onto the good strategies. You pick your varieties.
Yes, you're going to pick early ripening varieties.
Early ripening and watch the chill factors. Mm-hmm. And you want to stay with the smaller dwarf trees?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. And I think that there is a tendency for people to buy, shop, and buy based on the variety. Don't do that. if you put a Gala apple or a Fuji apple, it will be hard and sour. It will never, ever, ever ripen here. And so you're picking early ripening varieties, A. B, we have a snow factor here that, you know, I have a friend with an orchard on the shore of Mud Bay where there's less continuous snow accumulation. You go up a couple hundred feet in elevation or away from our seacoast, and now you have more snow accumulation. So the dwarf trees take a lot more TLC. You're probably cutting every limb below 30 to 36 inches is going to be removed. And so when you typically you see somebody...
And that's because of the snow load?
They're going to get ripped off. They're going to get ripped off.
Ripped off by snow.
They're going to get ripped off, yeah. So why don't you just cut them off nice and clean? Yeah. So the snow issues, and I think that we also have a growing season and cold soil conditions. Temperature is a very significant factor in what allows Alaskan fruit growers to succeed or produce. And the growth rates of trees are slower here. The decomposition of compost is slower here, and that's about temperature. So we can use instead of dwarf, maybe think semi-dwarf.
Okay.
In other words, you're going to use an aggressive pruning strategy. For sure, all fruit trees want to be pruned, expect to be pruned, and I like to use the example that bears and fruit trees evolved in Asia together. Mm-hmm. And you can bet that the apple forests of the borderlands between China and Kazakhstan have lots of mangled trees,
right.
Broken and bent and regrowing because mm-hmm. of the bears that have been inhabiting the same habitat for eons.
That's my theory. I let the bears prune my trees.
Okay, as long
but
as...
a moose is a challenge. A bear can, with a really lovely little easy-to-use seasonal electric fence. Mm-hmm. Bears are kept out of your fruit trees. It works really, really great. This mm-hmm. year at the museum, it worked perfectly.
Right, good.
At the senior village, they were going through the trash, but they weren't getting in the apple tree. Mm-hmm. And that is not the case with a moose. A moose will enter an orchard area, will eat the fruiting spurs off the tree, and will strip the bark. And so it's a pretty devastating thing, which I've watched in Stephanie Scott's orchard twice. So you have to have a fence that's not 4 feet high.
Okay.
Because the snow is 4 feet high.
Right. So how
and
high
the tree
a fence?
Is 10 feet tall, you know.
So how do you have an electric fence in the winter to keep the moose out?
You don't.
You don't.
You don't
so
have to
what
worry
is
about,
it that you do?
You have a big fence.
Just a big fence.
So, for example, the Orchard Project is designing an experimental orchard that has a fence with a finished height of 8 feet.
Wow. And where's this going to be?
At the lower part of the Henderson Farm field.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And now Blythe has been successful with her outdoor orchard for many years.
But she's had problems with moose, too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And snow.
Yeah.
So snow, moose, bears. There's some real serious challenges that make it work. But I think also we have to look at, I think Melissa and I agree that this is food sustainability and food security are things that we just simply must prioritize. And that fundamentally, agriculture is the adjustment and the manipulation of our habitat to adapt and allow production.
Yeah. Just listening to the international news, you know, the whole food security issue is becoming a big something for us to think about. So we're almost out of time. You've talked about how to make sure that humans get to do the harvesting, but where can people get information about the Orchard Project?
Well, you can get there's some fine references now on our website, cvorchardproject.org. And that's also it's kind of tucked inside of the Chilkat Valley Historical Society's website. When you look under projects, you'd go to the Orchard Project. And there are both full and extensive pre-recorded programs that were recorded in the winter of 2021. And there's also great stuff about half a dozen different topics. But Blythe Carter's fine fruit grower's guide is there for a free download. It's 28 beautiful color pages.
Wow.
And it's really a lovely addition to our community.
Okay. She has definitely been studying the fruit trees.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Blythe does her research. She's amazing. So you go to the Chilkat Valley Historical Society, and that's where you'll find the link.
If you Google Chilkat Valley or CV Orchard Project, you enter CV Orchard Project, it'll come up.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Burl.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Very informative.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Enjoy a day off from outside gardening today, everybody.
Yeah, it looks like it, huh? All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Joni.
All right. That's a Garden Conversation. Heard every Thursday morning here on your community radio station, KHNS Haines, Clukwan, and Skagway. It's 9 o'clock, and that means it's time for the Community Calendar, which is supported in part by Canal Marine and Auto at 704 Union Street. Outboard Marine, steel equipment, auto repair, tire swap, mount, and balance. Open 9 to 5:30 Monday through Friday, and you can reach them at 766-2437. On this Thursday, September 29th, happy birthdays go out to Aleka Leon, Anastasia Donathan, and Shauna Hansford, Rayanne Carlson, Trey Knorr, Steve Burnham Jr., and Catherine Ackerman. Happy anniversary to Tom and Cheryl Kelly and Nick and Tricia Wilson. And remember, if you'd like to hear your birthday or anniversary on the community calendar, email us at khns.org. Today in Haines and Clukwan, Intermediate Tai Chi is at 9:30 in the Chilkat Center. The Haines Sheldon Museum will be open from 10 a.m. until 4. Haines Public Library is open 10 to 7. Tykes and Trikes, 10:15 in the elementary school gym. Tai Chi for Seniors is at 11 a.m. in the Chilkat Center. Tourism Board Advisory will meet at noon in Assembly Chambers and over Zoom. Improv class, 5 to 7 in the Chilkat Center. Tomorrow in Haines, the pool opens with a lap swim at 6 a.m. and aqua aerobics at 8:30. Advanced Tai Chi is at 9:30 in the Chilkat Center tomorrow. Haines Sheldon Museum opens at 10. The library opens at 10 with a story time at 11. The Haines Senior Center meal delivery, call 766-2383 if you would like that service. Today in Skagway, the Rec Center is open until 8:30 tonight. There will be senior weight training at 10:30.